You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
And you got to say it over and over again until it gets in your spirit. It's natural to cut folk off. It's natural to separate. It's natural to amputate when it's not working anymore. But if we're going to do what God tells us to do, abide in me. That's what Jesus said. Abide in me, not just in your church, not just in your religion, not just in your traditions, not just in relevance, but abide in me. And I in you.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Staying Authentic After Becoming. Today, Bishop will be teaching from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 4.
It's one thing to say, I'm anointed. It's one thing to say, my God, I reached a new level. I'm on a new level. But are you stable on the new level? Or are you cantankerous? Man, I'm preaching. Are you stable? Is everybody around you stable? Is everybody on edge? Got to be careful now. You don't want to trip him because he go off. Man, you don't want to say the wrong thing to her because she, ooh, God. You better make sure you follow and do everything he wants you to do lest he get mad and start pouting all bottom lip out. Listen, let me tell you something about service. I don't want anybody serving me in a restaurant with a bottom lip out. You better get that lip fixed. I want people to serve me with a smile, man. Listen, that's why we tip. To ensure tips. Tips, T-I-P-S. To ensure proper service. Tips. To ensure proper service. Usually you should tip before they serve. Come in right here. Here, take that 20 right there. Here's 50. I don't want anybody in my team, anybody that's with me, I don't need to let them know what I'm doing. Take that right there. Serve them right. They serve. Oh, my God. Because you ensure proper service. Here's a $100 bill right there. Make sure everybody with me. Oh, my God. Yes, sir. That's what tips should be. Not church people. We just, oh, here's two. Here's one. Get lost. You ain't getting my money. Talking nasty to them. Let me tell you something, man. You don't ever talk nasty to people that got to pour your Coke in another room. Them suds. You don't listen. Suds. You drinking beer and you talking nasty to people. Suds. Y'all don't know how to work with people, man. You never talk bad to people that got to go around a corner and get some food for you. Hint, hint, never talk nasty to your wife if she fixing a food for you. It's honey, whatever, honey, yeah, you real fine. You real, man, my God, you fine. You fine, oh my God. Man, I went to a New Year's night. I went to Denny's, and these kids were running this lady, man. They were running her. What did I say? I said, Coke, you don't know what you're doing? They were talking to her like that. It bothered me, man. I got up to their table when she, and the lady was trying, man. She was trying to work with her. I walked up to that table. I said, you all, man, I don't know where you were raised. You're probably going to try to go off on me, but let me give you some history. It's the Denny's right there on 192. I said, let me tell y'all something. I said, years ago, none of you all could have sat in here. You had to get your food. Your parents had to get their food from a back window somewhere. I said, you never want a waitress like that. What is that right there, son? He said, Coke. I said, I said, you see them bubbles in that thing? I said, that lady brought that to you? Let me tell you what slaves did. Let me tell you what slaves did. They spat in stuff. They did stuff. They put it in their drink and watch, sit around the corner and laugh while they were drinking it. Do you want her to spike your stuff? They said, they all stood up straight. Oh, no. I said, I want you to lock it up and treat this lady nice. Let your stuff get spiked. Everybody got quiet. I ain't have to say no more. I went back to my table, sat down and ate my food. Said thank you loud to the lady. Thank you. Did like they did in religion. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, God, thank you. We too nasty, man. Where's chivalry? Once God separate you from the world and give you a new DNA, why are we going back to old natures? Did what he do on that day you got saved, has it remained? It's not about becoming anymore. We're there. We're still working it out. It's about remaining. Glory to God. In this series, I believe God is going to give us some insight. We're going to explore what it takes to stay rooted, to remain rooted, to stay established, to remain established, to stay aligned, to remain aligned with God. Long after the moment of excitement, long after the shout, long after the worship, long after we come down to the altar and cry. When we get up and we go out, we need fruit that remains. So God has given me an acronym for remain. I believe God wants us to stay who he made us or who he built us to be. He wants us. He has prepared us to be built and to remain who he built, who he prepared long after the process is over. So if he's molding me down at the potter's house and he sets me on a shelf, I should melt the first time heat comes. If he's blessed me to be a part of a ministry, I should melt the first time I have an argument. If he gave me a portion of the ministry and he entrusted me with a key, I should be a caretaker of that key. Some of us are more loyal to our jobs. They gave you top secret clearances and you make sure you check the boxes. But when it comes to church, you want to be late for everything. And you take the keys that were given to you and you put them on the shelf. And if he made you a key, you let everybody handle you. When keys should be saved. My God. I have a system that I do. Anytime I come in the house, there's a certain place I place my keys. A certain place. So when I'm getting ready to move, I go to that place to pick them up. I don't just, start talking on the phone. Hey, child. And put my stuff anywhere. I have a system that I deal with. I have a place I put my shoes. I have a place I put my cologne. I have a place I put my guns. Y'all heard what I said? Yeah. I have a place I put my gun, my weapons. Pastor Sabrina don't like it. She don't like it. But listen, this is a place where I put my weapons. Man, we were in the house, man, 2 a.m, the man rammed into my front door. Chain came off the hinges. Open up. Oh, man, I got out. She, oh, my God. She told me, wait a minute. I said, step back. Y'all always talking, step back. Don't open it, don't open the door. I said, step back. Had a wife beat on everything. Let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something. Listen, listen. Listen, I don't play like that, man. Listen. I came around the corner, said, well, wait a minute, don't open the door. I said, step back. I said, man, if you don't get away from this door, I'm coming away with heat. He said, my sister's sick. I said, take her to Walmart. They got 24/7 care. Don't you ever come to my house like that. Don't open your door to strangers like that. This is a different day. It used to be nice. When my mother and father came to the north end of the county, our street had 50, 70 kids. It's not like that now. Everybody standing outside. When it rained, they put their foot in the gutter and let the water go through their feet. That's how it was. Everybody got a bike riding around on Christmas Day. That's done. Don't trust these people. Don't let your kids talk to everybody. Don't let a man pick up your child. Oh, my God. Ladies, y'all, listen. Don't let them pick up your child. Your daughter's walking around with them. Don't let them do that. I don't care if they friend. Put it down. No, don't do that. I'm not saying being mean. I'm saying strangers. Don't let strangers handle your children. That's what I'm trying to say. Y'all follow me? If you don't know them, be careful. There's human trafficking that's going on. Human trafficking. It's worse than slavery. It's right in your neighborhood. When you go to work, grown men are going into these teenage girls. And you playing games. They looking at you, but they looking through you. You raise them up, can you keep them? You want to have babies? Do you know what it takes to have them? It takes $300,000 to raise them. One child. You want to have 17? Can you keep them? Will they remain? How many of them will be psychologically whole if you raise them? Are you okay? Did you get your mental health counseling? Whatever you are, you gonna see it in your children. Can your fruit remain? And you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, a fruit that bears fruit in its season. Its leaves will not wither. And whatever he does, she does, will prosper. That tree that bears fruit, think about it. It bears fruit in its season. Say the fruit and the leaves represent family and children. And it will not wither. You've got to be able to not only bear fruit and greenery, it's got to stay for a few seasons. Oh my God, help me, Jesus. That's why God wants to give us some evergreens. Right there in Isaiah 55. No matter what happens, it stays green. Remain is an acronym for number one. R is for rooted. You hear that. E is for established. M is for matured. If you're going to remain, you need to mature. Adolescence that stay locked in eternal childhood won't last long. A is for aligned. If you're gonna remain, you gotta stay aligned. Not just in the same room. We need military precision. Align yourself. We need I, which is intentional. If you're gonna remain, you gotta be intentional. You gotta be purpose driven. You need the power of intent. I intended to do this, or I intended not to do that. Not just going with the wind. And the end is for nourished. If you're going to remain, you need to be nourished regularly in the area in which you are lacking nourishment. You don't feed your strengths. You got to start feeding nourishment to your weaknesses, so it can grow and balance out. You don't yield to your weakness. You feed it what it needs so it can balance out. one thing to become authentic. It's another thing to remain authentic under pressure. Let me say it again. It's one thing to become authentic. It's another thing in this wonderful month to remain authentic when the pressure is on, when the heat is on, when people don't understand you, when you're all alone, after the service is gone. After the love is gone, what used to be right is wrong. Come on, earth, wind, and fire. After the love is gone. See, when you don't have love in your heart, what used to be right is wrong. Everything is wrong. You're just everything. You can't do nothing right. And a citizen will get everything that you've been working for. And they certainly didn't pay for it. That's why we got to keep ourselves authentic. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me. Man, I love that verse. Abide, 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 abide. Say it 7 times. Abide, 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 abide. You all got tired, didn't you? Well, you want me to say the opposite of it? Separate, 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 separate. You want me to preach that? You want me to preach? Amputate, 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 amputate. You want me to preach? Cut it off, cut it off, cut them off, cut them off, cut them off. Or do you want me to preach what the Bible says? The Bible says abide, abide, help me, abide, 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 abide. And you got to say it over and over again until it gets in your spirit. It's natural to cut folk off. It's natural to separate. It's natural to amputate when it's not working anymore. But if we're going to do what God tells us to do, abide in me. That's what Jesus said, abide in me, not just in your church, not just in your religion, not just in your traditions, not just in relevance, but abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot produce on its own. You will separate from the tree and cut it off. In a day or two, you're going to see it wither. And many of us, we should be thriving now. We should have more fruit coming from us now. We should have more leaves that are green now. But we don't see it. Because this connection has been amputated, or a tourniquet has been placed on our connection. There should be evidence that we're with Jesus. Ah, when David was taking the Ark of the Covenant, hallelujah, back to Jerusalem after it's been out of its place, glory to God, for years. He got the Ark of the Covenant, put it on his shoulder, and he's trying to take it back to Jerusalem. But the scripture says he didn't do it the right way. And when a young man saw it tilting, he put his hands on the Ark, glory to God, and it fell. Hallelujah. He stayed it, but he touched the Ark, and no man should touch the presence of God in his flesh. And the scripture says he died on the spot. When David saw it, my God, I had good intentions. I wanted to do the right thing. What are you talking about? You know I love you. God says, but you didn't do it the right way. My God, everybody think, well, God can take my mistakes for love. He doesn't. He doesn't take your mistakes for love if you know to do right. To them that know to do good and don't do it is what? So if you know to do good, you got to learn how to what? Do good. The Bible says David took the Ark of the Covenant and he placed it in the house of a man by the name of Obed-Edom. He let it stay there. And he went back to Jerusalem and he started reading the scriptures. and he found out that he was transporting the ark the wrong way. It was good to transport it, but he was doing it with flesh. He put it on a cart. He put it on a cart with some donkeys or something walking with it. Nice cart. Big boards and big wheels. Big boards and big wheels, like a lot of churches. The big wheels and the big boards are trying to carry the ark. People that got money are the leaders. People that got influence trying to tell God how to work church. You're not qualified to carry the ark just because you have money. Oh my God. You're not qualified to carry the ark just because you know or your family put in stained glass windows. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Your time and tenure mean nothing if you haven't learned how to walk with God. You got to do it God's way. David found out that the ark had rings on it, which means poles are supposed to go through those rings, and priests are supposed to hoist it, put it up on their shoulders, and walk in unison together as they carry it. And you are the priest of the Most High God. You are the ones that are supposed to carry the ark. You're the one that's supposed to carry the presence of the Lord, not a big board or a big wheel. And you got to learn how to work together. Every step of the way, you got to learn how to synchronize your steps together to make sure the ark doesn't tilt. Every family's got to learn how to work with the ark, glory to God. Every marriage got to learn how to carry the ark, glory to God, without arguing every day. You won't ever see the grace of God enter into the house of God when we don't know how to carry the ark of God. After 3 months, David comes over the hill to pick up the ark. I know how to carry it now. And when he goes over the hill, he looked at Obed-Edom's house. When he looked over the hill, man, Obed-Edom, when he first got there, everything was desert. There was no aqueduct. There was no fresh fruits. It was desert. And in 3 months, the scripture says, everything in the man's house was flourishing. His wives were barren. His children didn't know what they looked malnourished. And in 3 months, his service and everybody was thriving. There's water flowing, glory to God. They found a well. Hallelujah. Money's coming back to the house. Things are flowing like never before, glory to God. Why? Because the presence was in his house. And if the presence is in your house, we're going to see evidence that God is with you. Touch your neighbor and say, we need to see evidence. We need to see some evidence that God is there. And if you get yourself together and start synchronizing as you move, you'll see God move in your house. Every room will be invaded. All chaos will have to go. God will straighten it out. Oh my God. When the king came over the crest of that mountain and he looked down and saw Obed-Edom's house, the scripture said he began to dance. Oh my God, he had a vision. If God can do this for this man's house, just because the ark is there, if I can transport that back to Jerusalem, God will do the same thing for the nation. Oh my God. And if you can take what God is doing in this ministry back to your homes, I'm here to tell you God will pay off your home. God will pay off your debt. God will let the river flow. God will let your body be healed. God will turn your life around. Man, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. You can't get an insurance policy that's better than this. Oh my God. Jesus help me. There's evidence when God is with you. There's some evidence. You got to check it out. Where are we missing God? We get God on the scenes, everything shifts. My God, help me, Jesus. Come on, I got a few minutes. What time is it? Watchmen in the East, what time is it? What? 9:34, thank you. Watchman in the West, what time is it? Tell me it's time to preach. Say it's time to preach. Oh, my God, it's time to preach. Glory to God. So we're talking about remaining, right? Staying who God prepared you or built you to be when the pressure is on. Stay rooted, established, be mature, stay aligned, be intentional, stay nourished, release the tourniquet, release the tourniquet or the chokehold. Glory to God. The second point I want to make this morning is we must be built to last. The first point is we need to remain. The second point is we need to be built to last. Sustainability is a word that I believe we need to adopt. I heard Pastor in the women's Sunday school talking about sustainability. It's very important to embrace that word, sustainability. If what we started can't be sustained, then what was the use of us starting it? If you say, I want to get married, but the marriage cannot be sustained, then what was the use of being married? If you say, I want a family, but the family cannot be sustained and have everything it needs, then what was the use of having a family? And if we say walking with God cannot be sustained, then what would be the purpose of calling him Savior? I believe if we abide in him and he abides in us, we will bring forth much fruit. And verse 16, your fruit will remain.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Staying Authentic After Becoming, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Attention new believers, registration is open for the Believers Enrichment Spiritual Training Best Class. Sign up today using the TR app, website, or by scanning the QR code in the foyer. Classes will begin soon, so reserve your spot now. Email best@truthreveal.org for more information. Ready, set, activate. Youth and young adults ages 15 to 20, get involved with the Career and College Prep Ministry on Saturday, May 23rd at 10 a.m. in the TR Palm Bay Campus Fellowship Hall for the Summer Job Prep Workshop. This interactive event includes hands-on activities, career coaching, practical resources, and helpful giveaways to help build confidence and prepare for real workplace opportunities.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day. Thank you.